SearchITChannel.com Partner News Podcast for the week ending June 20th, 2008. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Features Editor.
Barb Darrow, Senior News Editor.
And Newswriter Colin Steele.
Today, we've got some great segments for you. We'll be discussing the new distribution deal from NEC and Synnex, as well as Oracle's plans after acquiring BEA. Barb, why don't you tell us a little bit about the story?
NEC, which is the huge Japanese tech giant, signed Synnex as a distributor in the U.S., and it's a big deal for both companies. NEC has a huge brand name, but it isn't much of a presence yet in small and medium-sized businesses. This distribution deal covers servers, both enterprise servers and departmental servers, desktops, and enterprise software, including clustering and disaster recovery. It does not include laptops.
What's NEC's primary route to market in the U.S.?
They actually had what was described to me as a dormant deal, distribution deal with Avnet, which they didn't want to go into too much. They also have some specialized distribution deals. They have a company in Miami that covers that region and South America. They have some specialized storage distributors, and they have some regionals. What Synnex will give them is more geographical coverage. And also, Synnex has a ton of SMB VARs. They told me they have 17,000 or so VARs is the official number in the U.S. So it'll give NEC more feet on the street into the crucial SMB market. NEC is a huge player, abroad and less so in the U.S. in enterprises because it has very high-end hardware and software. But it's trying, like everyone else, to get into the SMB market.
What does this mean for the Synnex VARs who haven't been able to sell NEC before? Is this an opportunity that they're going to jump on immediately?
The thing it gives them is another brand name, a recognizable brand name. For example, storage VARs right now will often, work with EMC or whoever their storage vendors. But then if the customer wants to buy a server, they end up handing the server sale off to a hardware competitor, another VAR. And what NEC hopes will say, look, instead of handing that business off to a VAR, you can keep selling the storage you want or you can sell our storage, but either way, you can sell our servers and you don't have to hand that deal off to a VAR competitor. So that could be compelling. There is less partner competition for these select VARs for NEC because NEC isn't, authorizing a gazillion VARs. So
it sounds like this deal will help NEC become a little bit more of a champion here in the U.S., much like the Boston Celtics.
What an incredibly great lead-in. Yes,
now that's a segue.
And yes, a champion like the Celtics.
Speaking of companies trying to get into the mid-market, Barb, you have some news about Oracle as well?
Oh, yeah, it's a big week for Oracle. They're making a ton of news at a time where they're not supposed to be making any news because it's their quiet period going into their earnings call, which is June 25th. They put up their price list on Monday, and there were all sorts of interesting things in there. Significant price rises across the board. Oracle's big boy enterprise database went from $40,000 per CPU to $47,500. There were pretty analogous rises across the board. The BEA products prices have risen as well. The only exception is that a lot of the business intelligence prices seem to actually have seen price cuts, which plays into what Oracle's really trying to compete with SAP and business objects in BI, so that would make sense. They will not comment on any of this, but they did have to post their price list. It was effective June 18th. And to be fair, BEA customers had expected to see price rises. Neither BEA nor Oracle had a huge price increase for a while. So not that they're happy about it, but they were expecting it.
How will this affect partners' margins?
Well, that is a very good question. There's a whole school of thought that Oracle discounts so much anyway on individual deals that it may not affect margins too much. However, if you're offering a 50 or 60% discount on $47,500 versus $40,000, it's going to have some impact. The other issue is that partners are saying, look, the economy is terrible. It's hard to sell stuff now. The pressure is to lower prices, not to raise them. So the speculation is that Oracle had a huge quarter going into this and that they feel confident enough to actually raise prices in this awful environment.
It might not affect their margins, but it could affect the amount that they sell, which will still have the same effect on their bottom line.
Right. And the fact is that margin pressure is so high anyway on Oracle and everything else that, it's just more bad news.
Do we know how these prices compare to some of Oracle's competitors?
BEA and Oracle used to be competitors in middleware. basically they were nip and tuck there. And I think one thing that kept prices, you know, stagnant was the fact that they didn't want to, you know, raise prices against each other. You know, if you're talking databases, I mean, Microsoft SQL Server has always been less expensive. IBM's DB2 has a bigger gamut, you know, from mainframe down to server. So that's a better comparison. But, you know, Oracle is seen as the high-end, more pricey database, even though there's a lot of discounting.
And with that high-end status, they probably feel like they can make this price increase and not drive away too many customers.
And that's about all the time we have for this week. You can find the links to the stories we've discussed below on the page. To download this podcast and other past ones, check out searchitchannel.com/download. Be sure to use searchitchannel.com for all of your IT Channel professional needs. This has been Elaine Hom,
Barb Darrow,
and Colin Steele.
And thanks for joining us.